Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, for an answer, Jesus gave the key.
Of the air. This is Blog Talk Radio. We're glad that you're listening. Whether it's morning, noon, or night, Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott welcoming you once again to a program that goes all over the world. A program that will be featuring Pastor Patricia Benman, who I will introduce a little bit later. And after that, you will hear Let Go and Let God by Dwayne Woods. Amen. Lift him up. Come on, Benny. Yes, clap your hands. Yes, clap your hands. We're so glad that you're with us. It's a beautiful first Sunday in October. It will be my pleasure to introduce to some and present to others Pastor Patricia Benman, who will be the next voice you hear after this song by Dwayne Woods. And Pastor Benjamin is a woman on divine assignment. Listen, learn, and let go and let God.
Couldn't seem to fall asleep. There was so much on my mind. Searching for that peace. But the peace I could not find. So then I kneel down to pray. Praying, help me please. He said, you don't have to cry. I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I'm done worrying.
As soon as I stop worrying.
Worrying, I'm done worrying.
When I let go.
I let go.
And I let
God.
Let him have.
Let God have.
That's when
things start happening. I start looking at bad things.
When I let go.
I let go.
When I let God.
Let God.
Let him have. and on. Sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in the head, everything will be alright. Soon as I stop worrying, let God, let go, and let God, let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God, oh, let go, and let God. As soon as I let go and let God have his way, that's when things start happening. I tell you, good morning in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, what a lovely, lovely day it is in the neighborhood. The neighborhood meaning in my life, not the neighbors next door across the street, but it's a lovely day in my life. It's a lovely day in my heart. It's a lovely day on the inside of me. So therefore, I can truly say that it is a lovely day in the neighborhood. I tell you, I am blessing God on this morning for his benefits, for the things that he has done for me and the blessings that he has bestowed upon my very life on this morning. As soon as I let go and let God have his way, that's when I stop worrying about my problems. That's when I stop, when I let go and I let God have his way. Yes, I still have some problems, but there were some in particular that I it
had me, as the old folk used to say, it had me over a barrel. But as soon as I let go, in other words, as soon as the prophet spoke a word to me and said, go and wash your face. Ah, this is what God is going to do for you. And it wasn't, if you believe it, it wasn't according to your faith. It wasn't any of those statements made. All the prophet, apostle Smack said to me was, when the conversation between you and I end, go and wash your face. And God's going to dry those tears from your eyes. Oh, my God. The only good thing that I rejoiced about was the tears, because it was really breaking me up inside. It was painful. It hurt so badly. But the doctor told me I would never cry again because I have no tear ducts, that I would never, ever be able to shed a tear from my eyes. But the situation that arose brought the tears back into my tear ducts, and I cried. Real tears came out of my eyes. So God used a situation to fix a situation. Oh, look at God. Soon as I let go and let God have his way, oh, you better hear what God is saying. He touched me, and oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. When I obeyed and went and washed my face, as the woman of God said, oh my God, I didn't cry about that anymore, but look out, y'all, I still have some tears that will come out of my eyes. I wish I could find the doctor who told me that I would never, ever cry again. But you see, God said, when the doctor told me that, of course, it saddened me because I was such a young woman at that time when that statement was made to me. And tears keep your eyes and stuff moist and clean, and you know, it fight off germs that's in the air. He even told me I'm not even allowed to ride in a car with the window down, because anything blowing in the air would stick to my eyeballs and could cause a serious problem. So I must ride with the air on and the windows up. That I shouldn't be outside if the wind was blowing, and I shouldn't be near a window where the wind is blowing, and definitely do not be under or near a fan. And I still have a problem even with the fan. And I tell you, but And I said, Lord, what's happening with my eyes? And the Lord said, look on the counter. God, why are you taking me this way? You're taking me this way because whoever hears this is going to need this word. And God, I thank you. See, I'm a living epistle. I've lived these things, so therefore I can talk about these things. But you can't talk about what you don't know about, huh? Come on. If God, Andre said it, I never had a problem. I never know that God could solve it. I can't talk about God as a healer of the eyes when he's never healed the eyes before. Come on here. Let go. And let God. God started with that sermon last week, and then Dr. Scott reminded me. He said, Pastor, this is not the first Sunday. It's the fifth Sunday. I said, well, then we'll wait till then. Thank you, Jesus. But anyhow, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you see, on the counter there is a tomato. And I said, yes, Lord, I see it. He said, for as sure as that tomato is sitting there on that counter, and it is a beautiful, ripe, red tomato. So you know it was in the summer. Dr. Scott know how I am about those tomatoes. I don't buy them in the winter very rarely. I only buy them when I can go and get them for the season that they're in, because they just taste so much better. And I had the tomato there, beautiful tomato. I should have took a picture of that tomato, but it's in my head. And I looked at that tomato. He said, for sure as you see that tomato there, you will cry again. You know what? I didn't know what was going to bring the tears. But what the enemy meant for my demise and meant for me harm to me, for me to forget about living on this earth and saying, you see, you're useless. This has happened and that has happened. So you need to just take your life. You need, yeah, I'm a preacher, but the devil don't care who you are. If you think because you are a preacher, you think because you go to somebody's church, you think because God has given you a mission to carry out, if you think that you have been exempted from the enemy's voice speaking to you, you don't know the word of God. Now, I'm not judging. I'm just telling it like it is. You don't know the word of God. The devil was constantly speaking to Jesus. The difference between Jesus and the devil, now it's a difference between them, but the one I'm getting at is that Jesus knew the devil's voice. The problem with some of us and some of you is that you think you're hearing the Lord's voice and you're really not. You're hearing from the devil because he said he will disguise himself into light to make you think that he is the light. There's only one light. That's Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. Oh, my God, but the tomato story. God gives me more stories than you can shake a stick at, as old folk used to say. I tell you, I got more testimonials of what God has done and will do and can do. But when I let go and let God have his way. Whew. My God, today, I am so happy in Christ today. Aren't you glad that you have a Jesus in your life? No one else but Jesus. Andre Crouch made another song that said, there's no one else like you, not my mother, not my father, not my sister, not my brother. No one else will do. That's why I love you, Jesus, for there is nobody else like you. Jesus, Jesus, sent from the above just to show the Father's love. That's why I love you, for there is nobody else like you. Oh, I feel good already. I feel good all over. I feel good all under. What about you? Oh, my God, I love the Lord, and I won't take it back because he is so good to me. Oh, my. We're getting ready for our anniversary service, and it starts on Sunday, October the 29th. Dr. Gregory Scott and I will have been on the air 6 years. I brought my first sermon on or first message on the fourth Sunday in October of 2012. I was horrified. I really was afraid of being on the air. I prayed for everything to go wrong on Saturday so I didn't have to do it on Sunday, but God didn't do that, and he's just so wonderful because he put me in a place where I had no other choice but to say, yes, Lord. And now I can say to Dr. Scott anytime, let's go on air, Dr. Scott. He said, give me a minute to set it up. He has never, ever refused to set up the program for the word of God to go forward. So you see, I may be a preacher with words, and I am an ordained, licensed preacher of the gospel. God called me. Pastor Marinette Watkins ordained me before a whole busload of people who came to Delaware from New York and from the saints in Delaware and different places around They came from as far as South Carolina to Delaware to witness the ordination service of me, Pastor Patricia Benjamin. I love the Lord for that, but Dr. Scott also preaches the gospel because every time he puts me on the air, he is preaching the gospel because he is a provider. He is a provider. He provides the means to put us out there. And don't think for 1 minute that God is not keeping a record of that. Because if you do this for God, God will take care of you. And that's why oft time I tell Dr. Scott, I'm not really worried about that when it comes to you. God is obligated to taking care of you because of all that you do for me. Because God will not allow you to do something for his children and he doesn't reward you. You know, the scripture lets us know that if you would just give a prophet a cup of water, you will receive a prophet's reward. Now, nobody never explained that to me, what the reward is of the prophet. I know if I seek Jesus and accept him as my Lord and Savior, I'll gain eternal life. But what is the prophet's reward? What is the prophet rewarding someone when they give him or her a cup of water? The scriptures say you receive a prophet's reward. I wonder if we Google that, Dr. Scott, it will tell us what the reward is. You know, Google thinks it knows everything, but I'm sure there's some things that Google don't know. So we'll be here on October the 28th at 7 p.m. celebrating our 6-year anniversary service. I have a prophet out of Stamford, Connecticut, Prophet James Hinton. And on that Monday, the 29th of October, I have another prophet from Stamford, Connecticut, Daniel Hinton. They're brothers. They're not twins, though. And then on the 30th, I have the one and only Apostle Cheryl Wade, who will be breaking the bread of life. And then on Wednesday, God told me to leave that blank. And we had our prophetic service on the 24th of September, and my speaker was Apostle Gertie S. Ford of South Carolina. My God, the woman broke the bread of life. So till God said on the 31st of October, the day I told you to leave blank, I want you to put her message, which has already been recorded, in that slot. But she will be on live to take any phone calls necessary for prayer or a prophecy that God has given her to give to whomever. And then on that 1st of November, never gone into November before, but we're going into November the 1st, I have Prophet Superintendent Timothy Trent from New York. So I have two Connecticuts, one Virginia, one South Carolina, and one New York speaker. I have three males and two females this time. Oh, bless his name. So come out and be with us. Now, what I mean by come out, get on your phone and call in and be blessed of the Lord. You can have your rollers in your hair. You don't have to comb your hair. You can have your PJs on. You can be eating your dinner, whatever. It's all right. But we thank God that the Lord and Dr. Scott make these programs available and make them happen. As I was looking in the Word of God, and I'm not going to be long, soon as I let go and let God have his way, I started feeling better. He has a testimony as well, the young man, Dwayne, who came out with that that song. He was telling of a disease that he had, and God healed him. And I guess that's why he came to the conclusion that as soon as he stopped worrying about his problem, and when he let go and let God have his way, that's when God healed his body. And I'm believing God for healing for my baby brother. As I chatted with him on yesterday, and I encouraged him, I encouraged his soul in the Lord. And he's believing the same way that I am believing. That's why the scripture said, how can two walk together except they agree? Well, we are walking together. In other words, we're believing God for the same thing, which is healing for his body. That's what we are believing God for. We're not believing God for a car or whatever. We're believing God for healing. We are with one accord. We have a oneness there. We are both going to God for healing. We are touching and agreeing. We are walking together in a oneness, bombarding heaven for the exact same thing. And we don't need anyone around us with negative energy. We don't need anyone speaking against the healing of God, because God is a healer. Jesus healed the person, the man with the withered hand, the woman who had the issue of blood, just touched his garment. My God, today, could you imagine just touching his clothes? That's how much healing is in him. And my dear friend used to say all the time, healing is the children's bread. So we're going to eat that bread, and we're going to become healed by the womb in his side. The old song they sang when I was a child says, I'm healed by the wound in his side. I'm healed by the wound in my Savior's side. See, we had to, you know, establish whose side it is. It's my Savior's side. It's Jesus' side. For I am healed by the wound in his side. So we have the victory over this circumstance. We have the victory. I want you all to know where sickness comes from. It doesn't come from the Lord. It comes from the devil. It comes from the devil. Let's go to the Word of God. I wanted to speak out of the third chapter of Timothy. Dr. Scott, 2 Timothy is where I wanted to come from, but that is not where the Lord wants to come from. I think it's great when these people can sit down and write these sermons, and God allow them to present the sermon. But for some reason, he doesn't do me like that. He just tell me, go and I'll go with you. Open up your mouth and I'll speak for you. And I'm not saying he's not speaking through and for the other preachers either. It's just that different strokes for different folks. He just does me this way. Maybe later in life he'll change it. But for right now, I'm going the way he leads me. For where he leads me, I will follow. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Yes, Lord. The fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. Starting at that first verse, it says, preach the word. I'm not going to do the fourth chapter in the manner in which it's written. I'll be moving from one place to the next. It says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I wonder if that's why Jesus was saying to teach the disciples, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There's no other kingdom but the Lord's kingdom. That's right. Oh, we have many kingdoms. The devil has his little kingdoms set up all over the place, but the Lord is going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He's going to do it. He's going to judge the living and the dead. Now, you don't want the Lord to judge you and you be found with a judgment against you. That is something that you really don't want. If he must judge you, let him find favor. Let him find that you are a well done, good and faithful servant. But don't let him find a fault against you when he judges. So he's going to judge the living. Now look out, look out. Listen to what the word is saying. He's going to judge the living and the dead. So just because you are laying in a grave somewhere or have been under the heat of cremation, don't think that you have escaped the judgment of God. You have not, because the word says he's going to judge the living and the dead. So you haven't gotten away just because you died. I know we put people in heaven and all this stuff. My son went to heaven, didn't live any kind of life according to the scripture. My daughter is in heaven. Why is that? Maybe they are somewhere near, but they haven't been judged yet. The only way that you can make it in is it's got to be a change in your life in order to make it into heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And you have to prepare yourself according to the word of God. And if you haven't prepared in the right way, then I don't really believe. Now you think I could be wrong. Maybe so, but if I'm going with what the word says, that you must be born again and you have to live right, a righteous life in order to obtain these things that God, Jesus said it in his word, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you will be also. So if Jesus has prepared a place for a prepared people, and he plans on being there, and you're unprepared, how is that possible? You have made no provisions to live with Jesus in eternity, forever and ever, but yet you feel as though that you are all right? I'll let him judge the living and the dead. I hate for so many people to be disappointed to think that I can do what I want. I'm grown. I can do what I want, and it's okay. I can hurt people's feelings. I can say what I want. I can go where I want. I can do like I want to do. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I take care of me. Nobody gives me anything, but there are still some rules that we must abide by, and that is the law of the God of Jesus, the Son. God said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He died on the cross for us to have eternal life. But there's stipulations. There is a way to get eternal life with him. Because either way, you're going to spend eternal life either in hell or in a prepared place. Because the scriptures say heaven and earth will pass away, but his word, you never read his word. You never do anything that he has instructed for you to do, and then you die, and all these preachers are putting people in heaven. Well, maybe I'm the only preacher on earth that's wrong, and all the rest of them is right. But I just don't see it that way. Let's go to Ephesians again, the fourth chapter I'm reading from. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. That's what he's charging you to do. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teachings. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is here already. It is here already because people really don't want to hear the real word of God. They want to hear something that sounds similar, but allowing them to still do their own thing. But there's a time that the scripture said, so we church folk, we pastors, should not be upset if they don't want to hear the truth. If they don't want to hear the truth, the Bible has already told us that a time is coming when they will not listen to sound doctrine, the truth. But according to their own desire. See that? Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll find teachers that will say what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the things that God and his son Jesus Christ has said through the holy men of the Bible. But they will create teachers that will say what sounds good to their ear. Shame on you. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. See, I just told you that. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Timothy is letting us know that we have to fulfill our ministry. We have to do this. We have to teach the truth of God. We have to teach the truth of the Bible, the gospel, Jesus Christ. If we're not teaching that, we're teaching a fable. It's false. It's not real. And it's going to cause people to fail. And guess what? You're leading them to failure. So therefore, it's going to be on you. The blood of those people are going to be required of you. It'll be at your hands because you're the one that's misleading them. You're not teaching the sound doctrine. You're not teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. This is not what I wanted to talk about today. I did not want to talk about this today. But apparently, God knows what he wants to talk about when it comes to me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless his name. Now, let's go down here to the 17th verse, and I'm going to get ready to close out. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. That's a wonderful
thing. Let's go to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Excuse me for the interruption, Mom. Could you be quiet, please? I'm preaching the gospel.
I'm going to leave, though. I've got to go home.
Well, you know, in church we have this thing, this type of stuff going on, too. People just speak out. She's 88. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me. Now, if you look up here where the scripture is telling him or telling us to preach the gospel, you have got to preach the truth of the gospel. And you don't have to be afraid of their faces. You don't have to be afraid of the people. Why? Because the Lord himself will stand with you and strengthen you to do what he has called you to do. And God has called you to preach the gospel or to teach the gospel. Oh, God, why are you taking me here? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you. Let's read that again. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me. And, oh, bless God, and that all the Gentiles might hear also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. There is a heavenly kingdom we're trying to get to. Not just a kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. That's what it's all about. I want to live so God can use me anytime and anywhere. Oh, there's so much work to be done. But we got to stay focused. We got to keep our eye on the prize. We got to keep our eye on Jesus Christ. It is about Jesus Christ who died for our sins. He makes the difference in our life. When you walk daily with the Lord, oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on his everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path it grows from day to day, leaning on his everlasting arms. Yes, I'm leaning on Jesus. Why? Because he strengthened me to preach the gospel. He has strengthened me to teach the word. He has strengthened me to tell the truth to men, boys, women, and girls. He has strengthened me for the journey. I'm looking forward to the heavenly kingdom. My glory today. Thank you, Jesus. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I tell you, the word of God is right. And we just have to walk upright before the Lord. I'm closing my Bible. Get right, church. Get right. Don't be afraid. Let go and let God have his way. As soon as you let go and let God have his way, no, they're not going to want to endure. They don't want to hear the truth, sound doctrine. No. But let me tell you something. God said he will give you the strength. He will strengthen you to preach his word, to teach the truth. And when you do that, that's when you're called men and women and children to enter into the heavenly kingdom. The Lord is good and he is worthy to be praised. You know, you don't see a person who talk about cars not talk about cars. So when you are a born-again believer, you have to hear that conversation sometime or another come out of a person's mouth. The Lord has to come up. What's in you will come out of you. And I am full of the word of God, and I can be talking to you about a bowl of soup. But before I finish talking about that bowl of soup, somehow or another, Jesus is going to come out. Yes, because, you know, in that bowl of soup there, especially I was in El Paso a few weeks ago, and I'm telling you, they had some fresh beef vegetable soup. And my God, I'm telling you, that was some good soup. And I'm a soup maker myself, so I know when something really is good. And that I really wanted to bring some back with me here, but I had no thermos. But it had a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But all of those vegetables that was in there, God created all of that for us to enjoy. So what was in that soup, I didn't see the hands that prepared it, but my eyes let me see what was in it, and my tongue let me taste what was in it as well. I saw the corn, and I saw the barley, and I saw the cabbage, and the carrots, and the onions, and oh my God, and I saw the beef that was in the beef vegetable soup, and the green beans, and the peas, oh my God. And when my tongue tasted it, the only thing missing for me was the salt. So I had to add a little salt to make it more flavorful for me. But for someone who doesn't do salt, it might have been just fine for them. But the salt helped for me to make the difference. So how are you going to have a heavenly kingdom, or think you're going to a heavenly kingdom, without Jesus? Jesus is the flavor that you need to get there. You got to have his blood on the inside of you. He has adopted us into the royal priesthood. He made it possible for the Gentiles to have a chance at the tree of life. He's not just a Jewish Jesus anymore. He belongs to us, all of us. For as many of us that call upon his name, we shall be saved. I'm so glad that I'm a Shelby today. I know that I'm saved. I know that if I die tonight, well, it don't have to be tonight, this afternoon sometime, I'm going home to be with the Lord until it's time for him to judge the living and the dead. And I'm living that he will say, come on up. Mm-hmm. Come on up. Come on up. Oh, bless his name. I hope this message bless your heart today. Sometimes he lets me be quiet and just stand and just speak his word. I'm excited about Jesus. How about you? Is it about Jesus, or is it about the finances? Is it about the things? Or really, is it really about Jesus? Or is it about the name you're making for yourself? Because you see, some of them, if they didn't have Jesus, then you wouldn't even know who they were. Or if they wasn't faking or acting like they have Jesus. Some are known because of Jesus in their life. How about you? Is he speaking to you to preach his word? And I'll give you the strength that you need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen.
Broken dreams, I was so full of pain, but then you came, and now I'll never be the same again. I had tried it all, and I wanted to change, and right then you came, and now I'll never be the same again. I will never be the same. Ooh, I will never be the same. Oh,
I will never be the same. Ooh, and it's all because you came. I will never, no, I'll never.